And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, and I hope everything is going well for you today. I hope that you are full of hope and great expectations of good things from the Lord. You know, I have to say my neck is stretched out with white hot expectation of good things because God is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. And so be encouraged. Everything is going to work out. I believe that with all of my heart. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm on the move. I'm not in my home studio. And when I'm not in my home studio, I've just kind of tried to create around me a sense of familiarity so that I can move smoothly through my program. And I'm going to do my very best to get that done today. But, you know, I'm going to land in Portland, Oregon, sometime late tomorrow. And so I'd ask you all to pray for me. Yes, I'm going to Portland, Oregon, believe it or not, folks. And I'm not going there on business. I'm going there on ministry business. I've got a wedding to perform there. I'm not looking forward, frankly, to being in Portland because Portland has been a hotbed of utter insanity, violence, and destruction of property, and it should not surprise us. I've been hearing things about Portland for a long time, about just how lawless and how crazy and how immoral Portland is. It's a place where almost anything goes, and I've been hearing that, I'm serious, literally for a couple of decades, that it's, people have described it as almost like being in another world, where, you know, drugs, alcohol, polygamy, whatever, you name it, kind of a place where everything goes. And now that this has erupted, I'm thinking, you know, I guess what I was hearing was right, because that kind of immorality and lawlessness that has taken root could not possibly be something that sprang up overnight. In other words, the seeds to this stuff had been sown for a long, long time. And now Portland is reaping the harvest, and we can only pray that the rest of the country doesn't get bitten with this bug of anarchy and chaos and mayhem and murder and attacks on police and official government buildings and all of that. But that's the city I will be in sometime tomorrow evening, afternoon. So say a prayer for me. I don't expect to be there very long, but my pass through is going to take about 24 hours. So listen, folks, my family and sometimes my staff thinks, uh-oh, here we go. Because when I get an opportunity to, you know, jump into the middle of something, very often I will take it because I just think, well, who knows what I'll learn? Who knows what I'll find out? So when I was out in Colorado Springs a couple months ago and I found a Black Lives Matter protest going on, I went right in the middle of it and started interviewing people and talking to people. And a couple people around me were looking at me like, I don't think that's a very good idea. But not that I'm not trying to be foolish or irresponsible and risk-taking, but I figure, you know, they don't know who I am, and I could ask some questions and find out what's going on. I think in Portland, it might even be more risky, because this was a nonviolent protest. It was a kind of march, but in Portland, doesn't seem to be much of nonviolent activity going on there. Everything seems to be quite violent. But you all have that in your prayers, if you would, and I would very much appreciate that. Look, since we didn't get to take calls yesterday, I want to reintroduce the topics of yesterday and ask you to comment. Some of you may have called in and may be available today and you had something you wanted to say and didn't have a chance to say it. So I want to reopen those topics as well as adding a couple of others. One new topic I do want to add related to what I did bring up yesterday about the Chicago hospital that got $66 million for the outbreak of coronavirus, only to find out that they had only 38 patients who actually, according to them, actually had it, and they got $66 million. I said, any thinking person is going to be skeptical. It doesn't mean we completely disregard the information we're hearing, but we're going to be skeptical because we've heard so much conflicting data and information. And you can't help but wonder, well, now, wait a minute, what's really true here? Well, I think I've mentioned on the program before Dr. Simone Gold. Dr. Simone Gold is the person who did the Tea Party Patriots press conference in which she basically questioned some of the conventional wisdom that is being offered up as gospel. And the mainstream media immediately started in on her like she's just the craziest, nuttiest person you'd ever want to find anywhere. Where did they get her? I mean, they just went off on her. Well, as it turns out, in the last few days, I've had an opportunity to actually be at an event where she was speaking. And I'll tell you something, what I heard was not the nutcase the media has portrayed her to be. What I heard was a brilliant, articulate, compassionate, and by the way, patriotic person. I didn't realize this because I hadn't really studied her background. This woman has got a medical degree from the University of Chicago and a JD from Stanford University. Now, folks, I have a degree from Harvard Law School, and you can go to those places instead of being a decent, thoughtful citizen and putting your education to work in productive ways, you can come out of there as an educated fool. This woman has had education at some of the greatest institutions in our country in terms of at least their intellectual reputation. She has not come out as an educated fool. She has not come out as someone who cannot think for herself. She has not come out as someone, as I've expressed it, who drank the Kool-Aid. And I just thought, wow, it is so dishonest, so deceptive. It's just evil to take a brilliant person like this and portray this person as a nutcase because she simply doesn't espouse the conventional wisdom. And you know, folks, it just brings me to this point. The fact of the matter is that this is really part of this whole Marxist trend in our country, because everything, and science is no exception, everything, every question, policy, issue is made better. I mean, I'm talking about important things. Things that are important to the future of our country are made better by vigorous debate. They're made better by hearing what various people have to say. And we can come to better decisions and judgments on the basis of hearing a variety of different kinds of information and assessing it. These totalitarianists who don't want you to hear anything that contradicts what they believe and what they've decided have simply got to be made to shut up themselves. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The last 2 months have shown us how easily the veneer of civilized American society can be shattered. We naively assumed that the moral foundations and social institutions would be strong enough to handle a global pandemic and scattered protests and riots. Now we see their weaknesses. Victor Davis Hanson writes about this thin veneer of American civilization and began by focusing on New York City that used to be thriving not so long ago. He says the city is now something of a postmodern apocalyptic movie, reeling from the effects of a neutron bomb. Ditto in various degrees, Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco. On more than one occasion, I've mentioned in my commentaries that most of us lived in a world with a live and let live social philosophy. I do that in part to explain to a younger generation what life used to be like before university professors encouraged their students to hate America and to protest even microaggressions. Nearly everything is under attack. It's not just statues that are being pulled down. Movies and TV programs are being pulled down from services on the internet. Comedians are complaining that they can't even make a joke without facing the cancel culture. Meanwhile, out in the streets, it's getting dangerous. Hanson reminds us that once upon a time, trying to torch a federal courthouse would earn years in prison, and simply taking over a large chunk of a downtown to recreate Lord of the Flies was unthinkable. Not now. Today, you can go to jail for reopening a gym that requires masks, social distancing, and constant cleaning with antiseptics. In the book of Isaiah, there is a warning of a nation that calls evil good and good evil. It sounds like American society today. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Racism, go to viewpoints.info/racism. That's viewpoints.info/racism.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. Caregivers often lose their own identity, which has disastrous effects. How can we care for someone else when we lose ourselves? Ask a caregiver, how are you doing? And you'll often hear replies such as, we're doing okay, or she had a bad night, or he just got home from the hospital. Caregivers often struggle to speak in first-person singular. But it's critical for us to learn to express, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I'm scared, or I'm angry. And then we can seek the help we desperately need. We can reclaim healthy identities by cultivating trusted and appropriate relationships. In those relationships, caregivers can safely express feelings and challenges with someone who understands their needs. Doctors, counselors, pastors, support groups can all help us regain our identity so that we, as whole persons, can better care for our loved ones.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
Brian Fisher here. While the Democrat National Convention continues, leftist thugs continue their rampage in Portland. We'll tell you what leading Democrats said about that. Hollywood goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over the vapid Kamala Harris, while ratings for the DNC are down 48%. And Barack Obama is not all about hope and change anymore. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yes, I want to thank you all, as always, for your support, your prayers. Thank you for going to the podcast and listening to those broadcasts. That helps us a lot to measure our audience. And it's a very, very helpful tool for people who you want to hear the program, but either they can't hear it when it's on, or they don't. We don't have a radio station somewhere near them, and therefore you've got to introduce it to them in a different kind of way. So we're very thankful to have that service to provide to you. So please use it at any time you can. Remember, it's always there on the podcast. Now, yesterday, I wasn't able to talk to you all, but I want to hear from you today. I talked about this whole COVID issue, and this Chicago hospital is just an indication to me that there's something going on behind the scenes, and it has to do with money, it has to do with power, it has to do with control, and in some sense, in some cases, has little or nothing to do with actually keeping people from being infected with this disease or healing them after they are. And so, for example, the whole hydroxychloroquine controversy. I told you all that Louis Gohmert said, look, that treatment saved my life. And this Dr. Simone Gold said there's absolutely nothing wrong with that treatment. Suddenly, the medical elites are telling people, oh no, it's dangerous, don't use it, when it is a drug and a treatment that is, while treating other things, obviously, wasn't treating COVID, but it's been around for years and been used effectively to treat other things like malaria. So it's clear that this is not a drug that has any track record of killing people, as I've heard some people say. Okay, maybe people look at other information and decide, I'm not sure I buy that. Fine. But we should be able to get access to all of that information. I said before the last break that the people who are telling others what they can and cannot say, or what they should and should not be allowed to say, are the ones who need to shut up. Now, of course, you could say, well, that's a contradiction. You just said everybody ought to be heard. Well, look, I think when you start telling people that they don't have a right to make an argument different than your own, and you're going to use your power to see to it that they can't, okay, that's the point at which I say, you know what, you need to shut up. You know, you are the one who needs to be quiet, because you're not offering an alternative argument. You're not offering an alternative theory. You're not offering a different solution. You're simply trying to cut off anyone else from doing so. And that's simply not acceptable. You know, folks, I think about this because I'm so proud of my country and the freedom that we have enjoyed and continue to enjoy in this nation. And freedom of speech is one of them. And, you know, so I think about this a lot. And I think, okay, do I want a Ku Klux Klansman to be able to spew his racial animus? The answer is, I don't want to hear it. But I want him to have the freedom to say it. I believe that. I want him to have the freedom to say it. Because, you see, I think by saying it, by airing these ideas, you give people an opportunity to respond to it. And then I think you give citizens an opportunity to say, you know what, he's crazy. And I don't buy that. I reject that. But once you start saying, well, his ideas are so bad that I don't think they should be heard, well, who's next? Because, you know, of course, there are people in the homosexual community of activists who think that when I say marriage is a union between one man and one woman, that that's hate speech that nobody should be allowed to hear. And in some countries, by the way, you can't hear that. You can't read from Romans 1. So who's next? Say, well, that's different. One is right and one is wrong. Yeah, but according to whom, you see? That's the issue. According to whom? I believe that what I'm saying is right. In fact, I know that what I'm saying, when I speak the word of God, I know it's right. I know it's true. But who's in power? Who's deciding? So I want freedom for everybody. Now, look, I don't mean freedom to say, let's all get together and let's go kill some Jews. Let's all get together and go kill blacks. Let's all go get together and kill whites. Now, we do not have the freedom to develop conspiracies, plans to hurt other human beings. Okay, that's a crime. That's not what I'm talking about. The person says, I hate E.W. Jackson because he's a, and fill in the blanks. I don't care. You know, I really don't. And if somebody said, no, the government should stop him from saying that. No, the government shouldn't stop him from saying that. That's what freedom of speech is all about. It's not about freedom to have anybody say anything that doesn't offend you. Okay? We don't have the right not to be offended. Freedom of speech is about giving people the opportunity to say difficult things. In fact, I think one of our founding fathers may have said this, but I've heard it over the years. Freedom of speech is precisely for that kind of speech that we would prefer not to hear. I mean, it's precisely to protect that kind of speech, because the things that somebody wants to hear, of course, oh, that's great. Let's hear more of that. It's the things that people don't want to hear that have to be protected, because sooner or later, maybe what you're saying won't want to be heard by some people, or some people will not want to hear. So I believe very strongly in that. And I just commend Dr. Simone Gold for being willing, having the courage to stand up and say what is unpopular. And I don't take that to mean that everybody has got to agree with her any more than everybody's got to agree with Dr. Fauci. See, that's the issue. With Dr. Fauci, even though he's talked out of both sides of his mouth from time to time, everybody's supposed to act like everything that he says is manna from heaven. Simone Gold comes up and says some things that are in disagreement with some of the things he said. She must be stopped. That is irresponsible. Stop her. Stop her. Get her off Twitter. Get her off Facebook. And suddenly the hysteria spins into high gear, and this person has to be completely shut down. That's what the left has given us now. Not freedom of speech, but a kind of totalitarian mindset in which elites, cultural elites, people with vast amounts of influence like big tech, they decide what is acceptable speech. And that simply can't be allowed to happen. So there's that. We talked about the Goodyear thing. I mean, Goodyear parsing words and saying, Blue Lives Matter is a political statement. Black Lives Matter is not. So our company supports saying Black Lives Matter, but we don't support saying Blue Lives Matter because that's a political statement. We don't support wearing a MAGA hat. You can wear a Black Lives Matter hat or a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, but you can't wear a MAGA hat, which doesn't say anything about President Trump. It simply says, make America great again. Yeah, he coined the phrase, but the phrase stands on its own. But no, you can't say that. That's a political statement. I mean, and here again, what I raised before is I hate to think of what it's like to work in a company like that as a Christian or as a constitutional conservative or someone who holds to traditional values. Because that's got to be a very difficult place to work. Because you know that if your views are found out, you are likely to be in trouble. We also raised the issue with James of Texas and his mother pushing to give him hormone treatments and all of this crazy stuff to ultimately leading up to his castration to try to make him a girl, because after all, that's what he really is on the inside, right? He's a girl inside a boy's body. Now, have you ever heard anything that preposterous? I mean, some of this stuff, look, if I didn't believe in free speech as much as I do, I'd say she needs to shut up, you know? But by having these things exposed, I think it puts us in a better position to inform the American people and inform our neighbors and others and tell them how crazy this stuff is and how wrong it is. Marquise Love, by the way, I didn't talk about this yesterday, but Marquise Love is still being wanted for a vicious assault on that man in Portland, in which he basically drop kicked the guy unconscious. I mean, it was vicious. It was vicious after he had also beat him. It turns out Marquise Love has a record. Now, it hasn't been a record of very serious crimes, but he has been in fairly constant involvement with and in trouble with the law. So he's escalating, apparently. He's getting worse. And this is the worst of it. Here again, he's somebody who ought to be locked up for a very, very long time for that, because that was cowardly and vicious, and just he could have killed a man. And I think the only reason why he didn't die is just the guy was blessed to have a fairly strong constitution, and maybe Marquise Love doesn't have a very strong kick, but that kick to the side of the head like that could have killed a man. And here again, Where is the hue and cry about that? When we come back, we're going to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Let me tell you something you already know. Every one of us has problems. Now, we do not all have the same problems, but we do all have problems. No one goes sailing through life without hitting a high wave occasionally. Too often in our problems, we think other people turn their backs on us, and sometimes they do. But many times it isn't that others turn their backs on us. It is simply that we have a defensive attitude which causes us to expect others to reject us. In other words, we look for rejection on their part. We need to remember when we're in the midst of a problem that not near as many people know about it as we may think. Human capability is such that we don't know everything about every person at all times, and that is good. It doesn't help to face our problems by being touchy about them either. I learned early in life that if you carried a chip on your shoulder, someone would try to knock it off. So I try to carry my chip in my back pocket, hidden from the view of those who get their kicks from knocking other people. I will share my problems with my close friends, whom I know will try to help and understand, but I see no need to broadcast them to everyone I meet. Don't become defensive if you happen to have problems that other people are aware of. Your defensiveness will often cause you to look for faults. Once I was visiting in a home where there were some problems. Several people in the town knew of those problems. A young boy in that home had run afoul of the law, and it had brought embarrassment to the family. As I was visiting, one of the parents remarked that they were in a certain place and a person whom they knew happened to be there. The parent of the young boy said that the other person didn't bother to speak. The parent thought, quite naturally, that the other person didn't speak because of the trouble the boy had had with the law, and obviously felt hurt because of it. I then explained to the parent that the person who didn't speak probably didn't recognize the parent. That other person was probably concerned with the problems she had, which the parent wasn't aware of, but I knew of them. And the other person's problems were far more severe and serious. Yet very few people were even aware that that person who didn't speak even had any problem at all. Don't follow your urge to become defensive when problems come your way. Don't wear your chip on your shoulder. Very few people will turn their backs on you because you have problems. And just remember that you aren't the only person in the world who has problems. We all do. Quite often, another person might have problems which you know nothing about, problems far more serious than yours. So when you have problems which others are aware of, don't become defensive. Just treat people as you would want them to treat you.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, just before I come to your calls, and frankly, get ready, folks, to have your barf bag ready, because you may need it. You may need it, listening to what Nancy Pelosi has said recently about the Republican Party. Nancy Pelosi, listen to this. She says, "I say to Republicans, take back your party. This isn't who you are. You're the grand old party. You've done so much for our country. You've been hijacked by a cult-like group of people and others who are afraid of defying the cult leader. This isn't what the Republican Party has been about for our country. Let's go back to our normal debate of the role of government and the lives of the American people as our founders intended, in a way that respects disagreement as we find our common ground, but understand that we must come together." Oh, my goodness. Do they hear themselves? Do they hear themselves? Cult-like? I've said the Democrat Party has become like a death cult. I mean, they're the ones who support unfettered abortion, Q killing of unborn babies. They're the ones who are presiding over thousands of young black men killing each other in the streets of our cities. They're the ones who are doing everything in their power to legalize every possible drug you can imagine. I mean, Denver just legalized mescaline. Mescaline is a hallucinogenic drug, folks, that will cause people to do all kinds of things, and nobody can ever predict how each person will react to it. Democrats are the ones who are behaving in a cult-like fashion and presiding over a death cult-like party. And they've got the nerve to see everything they point the finger at Republicans is doing is what they're doing. And this is the devil. I mean, this is Satan. This is his stock in trade. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own. In other words, he is an expert. He's a past master. He is a genius at it, because he's been practicing it for a long, long time. I don't know whether I said this yesterday, but I know I said it in conversation. It might have been with my wife. But, you know, I was reflecting on what the devil said to Eve in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, when he says, "Well, has God surely said?" In other words, are you sure you've got that right? In other words, God may not have said that, A, and B, even if he said something, you may not have gotten that right. And so go ahead, try it. You'll like it. And here we are. And it all started with that master stroke of deception. That's what they do, folks. I mean, it's disgusting, but that's what they do. All right, let's come to your calls. The number, oh my goodness, what in the world? Here we go. No, there we don't go. What did I tell you, folks? Didn't I just say that I'm not in my own studio, and my stuff is, let's put it this way, I've got to work out a kind of a different system for how I do everything. But the number here is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let's get to your calls. And all right, so we've got Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Hi. I didn't hear you say Mary, so I got confused there for a second. Sorry.
Sorry about that, but I know it's Mary. Go right ahead, Mary.
My husband worked for Goodyear for 35 years. He's been retired for 16 years. And after what he heard on the news yesterday, what Goodyear is pulling, he called the union hall. And, of course, he got a hold of someone new and young. And they just wanted to let in about how the Democrat Socialist Movement was all good and everything. He tried to talk to them about American Family Radio, about OneNewsNow.com, and that the socialists just wanted to take all your personal properties away. The police, the military are not going to be respected. And they didn't want to hear none of it. So what we did do, though, we had a brush pile out in the pasture. So all of his Goodyear T-shirts went out there in the brush pile, and we had he got to burn and start his brush pile with all of his Goodyear T-shirts. So anybody in the Topeka area, do be careful inside the plants, because they have been known to have certain accidents on people that, and he knows about these accidents. So you do need to be careful. But if you want to get rid of your T-shirts and not sponsor them out in public and go ahead and vote for President Trump and be a Christian and conservative, you go for it, and let's just protect America. Thank you, and safe travels.
All right. Mary, thank you. Thank you. God bless you, too. Now, isn't that something? Did you hear what Mary said? I mean, and this is the viciousness of the left. It really is, folks. They say, how can you say that they're vicious? I mean, can't conservatives be vicious? Well, anybody can be, of course. But here's the thing. When you don't know God and you don't realize you've got to answer to him, whatever moral restraints there are very easily shed to do whatever you think needs to be done. I mean, we as Christians are not going to hurt someone because we don't agree with them or because we don't see eye to eye with them, because we know you can't justify that as a Christian. All you can do is pray for them, obviously try to persuade them, debate them, but hurt them, harm them? No. But see, the left doesn't have those compunctions, as we've seen all over the country. Let's go to Barb in Ohio. Barb, welcome. Barb, are you there?
Barb from Ohio. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Good. I can hear you just fine.
All right. I wanted to get in yesterday when you talked about some correspondence that you had gotten from a lady.
Yes.
She was a Christian, but she was going to vote blue. And this has bothered me for a long time that they can say that. But if you're a Christian, pro-life, and you're going to vote blue, I hate to be the one standing before the Lord on Judgment Day when he says, I thought you followed my words, but you voted for someone who didn't. And it just eats to the core of me. I work in a school. I love these children. And some of them really, really appreciate our attention and our help. But I just don't understand how she can do that. And I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Barb. Well, Barb, I'll remind you that person who wrote to me also said that all religions are equally, I think she used the word, valid. All religions are equally valid, which tells me that that person is not a Christian at all. Let's see, I think we can get one more quick one in. Mary Lou from Mississippi. Mary Lou, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, Mary Lou.
Hello?
How are you? Yes, can you hear me?
I'm doing good. Yes, sir. I've been listening to you all week and been trying to call, but I'm usually in the car as I am right now when I'm listening, so it's kind of hard to get to it. You have said quite a few things but haven't said that, as the Bible says, those that are not Christians are blind. And the fact that they are Democrat, it shows me how blind they are, and those that aren't going to see, it's the, there are none so blind as those who will not see. I really believe that those that are actually Christians could not possibly vote Democrat, could not possibly, they can't be Christians if they feel the way they do.
Well, Mary Lou, thank you for the call, and I appreciate that viewpoint. I don't know that I completely agree with it or buy it. I think it has a lot of merit, and believe me, I have those same feelings. I really do. But I'll tell you what, when we come back, I will respond to that, because I do think it's a little bit more complicated than that. So stand by, folks. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, Siri.
Go ahead.
Show me some Christian music streaming apps.
Okay. Here's what I found under Christian music streaming apps.
The AFR app? Isn't that talk shows only?
It was, until recently. Now the new music streaming option plays music 24/7.
Oh, wow.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
I've had to walk through forgiveness, and it's something that keeps me on my knees, and I'm grateful for that.
God wants you to forgive those who've hurt you, as Jennifer Christie explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
You know, I forgive for my daughter so she can see what a godly woman, you know, is supposed to do when in the valley. And I forgive for my sons, you know, who are becoming the good men of tomorrow. I forgive for my husband, you know, so I can be the partner and the helpmate that he deserves. And I forgive for my God so he can mold me into the woman that he designed me to be. And, you know, for the people who watch me, who follow our journey, you know, so they can see what it's supposed to look like. You know, we forgive because we are told to forgive. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, and that doesn't mean that it comes naturally. It doesn't. We can only do that through Christ. And it is difficult, you know, but it is an everyday thing. It's not a once and done kind of endeavor.
More from Jennifer today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Let me say something really quick to this whole issue of, can a saved person actually vote Democrat? And I'll tell you, in my travels and speaking to, probably thousands of people over many, many years, I would say there are two kinds of folks I meet who are Democrats and intend to vote Democrat in terms of the policies that the Democrat Party has been embracing for a long time. One are people who are hardcore, and you simply can't shake them out of it, and you can't convince them out of it. They really are almost in a cult-like state. And I don't believe those people are Christians. I really don't. I don't believe it. But I also meet people who haven't really thought about it deeply. They're just doing what they've always thought they're supposed to do, particularly Black people. But this is probably true across the board. And then when you begin to share information with them, their eyes widen and they start to think. And I've had many people in churches come up to me afterwards, after they've heard me speak, and say, "Man, you opened my eyes. You woke me up. Thank you so much, because I've been wrong. I've been wrong in the sight of God." So I would just say, don't give up on people. Don't write them off, because some folks just have a blind spot that's been easy to maintain because it's been affirmed by everybody around them, their family, their friends, and all of that. But when they begin to hear the truth, because they really do know God, their hearts awaken and they reject what they've been doing in the past. And I have many friends who are in that position themselves. In fact, I'm one of them. When I got saved, I didn't immediately leave the Democrat Party. It took me a while, not that long, but it took me a while to realize, wait a minute, what these people stand for is completely contrary to what I stand for as a Christian and what the Bible teaches. So I could have been one of those people you looked at and said, how can you be a Democrat? Well, I hadn't really even thought about it and what the implications were. But once I began to understand it, my wife and I both left the Democrat Party and never looked back. So I hope that helps. Okay, let's go to Nick in Texas. Nick, welcome. Nick, are you there?
I am here from Texas.
All right, Nick, good to talk to you.
I just was listening to you, And I firmly believe I used to be the almost the same way as far as Democrat and Republican. I voted more for the man until Ronald Reagan. And then I started to really realize the Democratic Party. But that's not why I called, Bishop. I called because I would like to really comment on this coronavirus with hydroxychloroquine. My wife, and she is not a spring chicken. She's 72 years old and a still working nurse practitioner here in Texas. And she came down with the coronavirus in June, and it hit her like a brick wall, like a semi-truck. In 10 minutes time, she went down. And it was really bad. I took her to the hospital, and they gave her remdesivir. And that did not do a single thing. And they wanted to wait for a week until it all ran through. Then they prescribed, the doctor, her doctor, prescribed a steroid treatment and said that that's going to knock it right out. And it didn't. It brought her up a little bit. I mean, to the point where she could go from the bed to the bathroom, and that was about it. But then I said to her, why don't you just tell him you want to try that same stuff that Trump is using? It's working for him. What do you got to lose? Well, he prescribed a week's worth, which was 14 pills, and by the third pill, she was up, and by the fourth pill, she was changing her clothes and going out and fiddling around in her garden at our house. And from then on, it's just been nothing but uphill. I cannot believe how these people have politicized a treatment like that that is so cheap. It's just unbelievable. But that's my comment, sir, and I thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for calling, Nick. Well, see, this is what I'm saying, folks. I don't care what experts tell you. When people have that kind of experience, I mean, that transcends all the studies and the theories and the scientific pontificating about, you can't ignore that. So Nick, that's a powerful testimony. And I'm glad, by the way, Nick, that your wife is doing so much better. God bless you and her. And we'll certainly say a prayer for the both of you. Okay, let's go to Patsy in Arkansas. Patsy, welcome.
Hi. Bishop, I just wanted to tell you something I got in the mail the other day. I didn't know what you talked about yesterday because I didn't get to listen yesterday. But my mail came a few days ago, and the young man handed it to me, and it was a magazine that said Out, and I knew what that meant. So I turned it over to tell him, this is not for me. I don't believe in, I'm a Christian lady, I don't believe in this kind of stuff. And when I turned it over, I saw that it was to me. And when I came in and opened it up, it was a Good Housekeeping magazine, which I do subscribe to. And on top of it was this magazine called Out, and it's pornographic. It's your man that answered the phone, the young man that answered the phone, said I need to get in touch with the Arkansas State Attorney General. But the whole magazine is pornographic. I haven't looked at every page. I would not want to look at every page. I just flipped through it to see. It's men and women that are gay and lesbian. I really don't think they should call each other gay. But and it's also those horrible men that dress up like women. I mean, the whole entire... If I was a young person, I'm 74 and a half, and I've had a stroke and walk with a walker, and I'm, thank the Lord, I feel like you mentioned at the first of the show, I'm trying to stay happy and upbeat and knowing God's the one taking care of me. But if I had gotten this and I had children, and I wasn't the one who got it in my hand first and saw what it was, and my children opened this, I would be ready to really...
I know, Patsy. I know. You'd be ready to fight. Well, Patsy, what was this actually Good Housekeeping magazine, or was that a ruse to?
No, Good Housekeeping was right underneath it, and this Out magazine may be something that the same publisher. I am going to, as soon as I can get their phone number from my daughter. I don't have a computer anymore since I've had the stroke. And I'm going to call the Housekeeping Magazine and complain and cancel my subscription. I'm really mad because I know that what's in this magazine is sin, and they're just trying to shove it down the throats of our children.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Patsy, thank you so much for the call. Let me try to get a few more in before we have to go. But Patsy, that's what they don't seem to understand. We believe in live and let live. I don't want to hurt somebody because of the wrong decisions that they make about their own lives. But don't shove it in our faces and don't try to ply our children with this mess. That is a bridge too far. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Let's go to Todd in North Carolina. Todd, welcome.
Hey, Bishop Jackson, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Todd. How about you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call and share a few thoughts about this Goodyear debacle. I don't know what else to call it. I worked out at Goodyear for 34 years, and I'm a pastor, and at least probably close to half of that time, 16 out of 34 years, I was a bivocational pastor working out there. And I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we got a big Goodyear plant here that's been here since 1968, I think. But now my experience was when I was at Goodyear, upper management wasn't really hostile to us as Christians on our plant level. As a matter of fact, when we were on 12 hours and every other Sunday, every other weekend, you know, half the people had to work, they would let us go in an hour early. Goodyear provided us a large meeting room with electronics and everything, and we would have church from 6 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the morning. And,
wow.
And then we'd go to work. So, in the last 6 years I worked out there, I was in a position where I interacted a lot with management. I was in training, and I had to go to meetings and work with people like that. And sometimes we would have pizza or whatever for a lunch, and they would usually call on me to ask a blessing over the food before we ate, because they knew who and what I was. And I never really got that much hostility, but I will say this: when I retired, they would always have you come back in and recognize you and give you a little blanket or a hat or something and allow you to say a few words about your experience. So I had a captive audience, and I'm going to tell you what, I preached the gospel.
Amen.
I kind of wove it into my story as my experience, and I think the way I put it was, I said, then in 1991, I won the lottery, and everybody looked at me like I was crazy. I said, that's right. I said, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and then I just laid into him, you know.
Okay, well, listen, Todd, we're getting close to the end of the program, but I get your point. Goodyear has changed, hasn't it? Goodyear has changed. The whole culture is changing. And folks, I think one of the lessons that we as Christians have to draw from this, I said on the other side of this, we're going to be freer and we're going to be stronger and we're going to be more committed to our Judeo-Christian values. On the other side of this, one of the things we have to learn is we can never be silent again. We can never allow ourselves to be cowed into, or for that, just to be negligently into saying nothing. We've got to speak up. And in the meantime, folks, just remember this. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.